Good morning. John Munson in for Kate Archer Kent on the morning show on the Ideas Network of WPR. America's health care price tag is almost double per person compared to other wealthy countries in the world. One of the big questions that everyone's trying to ask in the medical field these days is, why is that? Some experts say one thing, some say another. My guest this hour says one big reason American health care is so expensive is that doctors are overpaid. We're going to talk about that this hour on the Ideas Network. Let me ask you, the audience, a question or two before we start, get you thinking about this. Do you think doctors' salaries impact Medicare and medical costs? Are you a doctor? If so, do you think your pay does not impact these costs? And do you think it's a problem? Do you think some doctors make too much? And a general question, do you think doctors deserve high pay? 800-642-1234, the number to call to join the program. 800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org. You can also post to the Ideas Network Facebook page or tweet us at WPR Mornings. My guest is Dean Baker, co-director of the Center for Economic and Policy Research. He recently wrote a piece for Politico titled, The Problem of Doctors' Salaries. Mr. Baker, good morning and welcome to the morning show.
Good morning. Thanks a lot for having me on.
So what prompted you to make this point and to target the salaries of doctors as the problem with our high medical costs here in America?
Well, a couple things. First of all, you know, I've been looking at, you know, basically where's the money gone over the last four decades. So it might have even been your show in the past, but I'm sure you've had people on talking about how most people have seen very little gain in wages, very little share of the benefit from growth over the last four decades. So I've been looking at where's that gone, because someone's obviously getting it. And, you know, I've written about other areas, and, you know, doctors, I'd say, are part of the story. So I don't mean to look at doctors and go, God, you guys are the problem for everything. So, you know, I've been looking at Wall Street, looking at high CEO pay. I look at how much we pay for drugs. That's another big part of the healthcare story. So I've been just looking at, you know, the range of areas where we've seen money sucked up that has come out of the pockets, in essence, of, you know, ordinary workers. So I went through, you know, all these various areas. I wrote about this in my book. It's free, so I don't mind plugging it. Rig. People could just go online and download it if they want. But in any case, I wrote about these various areas, and, you know, part of that story was doctors. And I wanted to call attention to that, you know, here it is, our doctors average over $250,000 a year, and that's net of their expenses, including malpractice insurance. You compare that to other wealthy countries, you know, Germany, France, Canada, UK, it's a bit more than twice the average. You know, it depends which countries you're looking at exactly, but it's a bit more than twice the average. And you're going, well, why should we pay twice as much as people do in Germany, France, these other countries that have comparable healthcare outcomes? So I'm not comparing us to Zimbabwe. You know, I know you expect in poorer countries they won't get as good as healthcare. They don't. Obviously, it costs them less, but they're not getting what we get. But in these cases, you look at countries, and it's not my personal attitude. I mean, there's scholarly research that has made comparisons of, you know, how people do if they have cancer, if they have heart disease, other types of ailments in these other countries. And again, we do better in some, so it's not saying that the U.S. has a bad healthcare system that way, but they don't find that the U.S. has a systematic advantage. So we're paying twice as much. We don't see it in any obvious way. So, again, where's the story? It's not all doctors. I've written about we pay way too much for drugs, for medical equipment, our hospital administrators. People have been yelling at me, what about them? Yeah, they get too much. But a big part of that story is doctors. And if we got our doctors' pay in line with the pay in other wealthy countries, it would save the average family around $700 a year. That's, to my view, a good chunk of change. So I thought it's important to call attention to that. And, you know, again, the other part of the story is that I was saying the reason they get so much is that we have this cartel. We have a restriction. You cannot practice medicine in the United States unless you've completed a residency program in the United States. And that's kind of a strange restriction, because what that means is that you could have a very well-trained doctor in Germany or France could have been practicing for years, well-established, good record. They can't practice here. They have to go through a whole residency program. And, you know, as an economist, I'd say this is protectionism. This is a cartel. This is artificially keeping up the wages of doctors. So the whole piece was directed saying, okay, let's remove the barriers. Let's try to do commerce tend to favor free trade. There's issues with trade, but I think in general, free trade is better than protectionism. Let's do with doctors what we've done with steel, with cars, with textiles, and get the benefits of more open trade, reduce the barriers, and let's pay less to our doctors.
You talk about doctors as though they were a commodity.
I had people jumping up and down, yelling and screaming over, you know, last 3-4 days ever since that was published. I'm treating doctors the way we treat other workers. And you know how many people had sent me emails or tweets saying, you think we're just like auto workers. And obviously, doctors go through a lot of education. I respect that. I had a lot of education myself. But I understand that. They go through a grueling ordeal in med school and the residency. I understand that. But again, from an economic standpoint, you know, we can give them a gold star for that. The question is, can we get the same care at a lower price? And I would argue if we can, we should look to do that. And again, you know, I'll tell you one of the things that's kind of fun, well, I don't know whether you want to use the term funny. When I originally wrote the piece, I know about the cost of medical education. People come out with a lot of debt, and you know, they don't start off in their practice till in their 30s. I understand that. I was going to include something about that because presumably, if doctors had lower pay, we'd want to change the way we pay for medical education. Europe, it's generally mostly free for the students. I was going to cut that in, but it was a 1,000-word article. I figure I will address that later. Everyone jumped on that. You didn't talk about this. And I'm really glad I left that out because, again, I'm an economist. We talk about trade all the time. And invariably, you know, people like myself will make the point, well, a lot of workers are going to be displaced. You're going to have auto workers, steel workers, you know, other workers that have been working 20 years. They're counting on working till retirement. They're counting on a pension. They're going to lose their jobs. They might lose their pensions. What about them? And they always go, oh, we'll come back to that and address it. And they never do. I'm sure that's happened with a lot of workers in Wisconsin, but certainly across the Midwest. Well, I would want to address it. I'm not being cynical here, but I don't feel doctors are special. Auto workers have been forced to take it on the shins. You know, they've been kicked in the face, and well, deal with it. Get the right skills. Well, I'm sorry. Doctors don't get special privilege in my book. I don't want to see them. You know, again, I think you'd look to have debt relief. You look to change the cost of the way we pay for medical education. But I'm sorry. Doctors don't stand out in my book in a way that auto workers and steel workers and other people don't get those benefits. We should do that for people who are displaced by trade. And so, again, I'm actually glad I left that out of the piece because I think it helped make that point that a lot of doctors think that they're somehow special. And I'm sorry, you're not.
Well, I mean, they are, in fact, special, aren't they? I mean, we're talking about people who have your life in their hands from time to time. I respect workers in all categories, of course, but if I've got cancer, I'm probably not going to call up my local member of the UAW.
Well, look, there are other workers that have your life in your hand at times. You know, firefighters have your life in your hand at times. They don't get paid $250,000 a year on average. So, you know, I think we should think about how we treat all workers. And I don't want to treat doctors unfairly. Let me be clear. I don't want to treat them unfairly. What I resent is the idea that, oh, we can kick the auto workers in the face because they're stupid. Doctors went to med school. They went through residency. They get special treatment. No. Let's think about how we treat workers. And doctors are workers, too. And if they don't like it, well, I just don't.
But aren't some skills in the market worth more than others? If we let the market determine, then wouldn't someone who can do open heart surgery be able to command a higher rate of compensation than somebody who inserts parts in an assembly line?
That would almost certainly be true, and it's true in countries like Germany and France and you know, UK and Canada. It's just that the differences are nowhere near as large as they are in the United States. So what I'm saying is, let the market determine that. Let's open the doors. We could work out standards that say, okay, obviously, the vast majority of heart surgeons in Germany are qualified. People are not dying in heart surgery in large numbers there, you know, different numbers there than they do here. Same in France, same in UK, you know, pick your country. So we should be able to establish standards where we say, okay, if you've met this standard in France, you can come and practice here. If you met the standard in Germany, you can come and practice here. So what does that mean? Heart surgeons will still get more than auto assembly workers? I'm sure it would. But the difference might be a lot less than what we have now.
We need to get to a news break. When we come back, we have some callers on the line, and we'll continue our conversation with Dean Baker. He's a co-director of the Center for Economic and Policy Research. And he wrote an article talking about how one of our big problems in controlling the cost of health care in America is that we pay our doctors too much. What do you think about that? Do you think we pay doctors too much? And I guess if you do think so, then what method would we use to bring those costs down? That could be the tricky part. We'll get into that with Dean Baker, and we'll take your calls in just a moment. John Munson in for Kate Archer Kent on the morning show on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Are doctors paid too much in America? That's the question that we're asking this hour with our guest, Dean Baker, co-director of the Center for Economic Policy and Research. He wrote an article in Politico saying exactly that, that one of the problems we have with the high cost of medical care in the United States is that doctors are overpaid. Wondering what you think. If you think doctors are overpaid or not, give us a call, 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. Let's take some phone calls. We'll start in Romance, where Mark is on the phone. Mark, good morning. Thanks for joining us today. Oh, looks like we lost Mark. Let's go to Green Bay, where Saeed is with us. Saeed, good morning.
Yes, good morning. Thank you very much for taking my call. Full disclosure, I'm a physician, practiced in Green Bay, Wisconsin for over almost 30 years. So I want to break down the question of, do we pay too much for health care? And that's a very separate question than are doctors overpaid. If you look at the data, what you will see that in the last decade particularly, physicians' incomes, if you you compare physicians to all other healthcare workers, hospital administrators, pharmacists, nurses, etc., physicians' incomes have actually not kept up. They have staggered and diminished. And whereas healthcare costs, what we pay for healthcare, has continued to grow. So some 25 years ago, physician fees were about 30% of the total cost of healthcare. Now that's somewhere less around 25%. But as the physician sliver of the pie has decreased, the total pie has increased. And so I get to the punchline. The punchline is that doctors affect the cost of care far more by two things: the quality of the decisions they make and the quality of work they do. That affects the cost of care significantly more than what their fees are. And systems that have been designed to reduce healthcare costs, such as managed care, that focus on physician fees, have actually not delivered. But systems that have focused on the quality of decisions they make, for example, accountable care, has succeeded. And then I want to come back to our physicians. When you start treating physicians like factory workers, and that is beginning to happen actually quite significantly. And what happens then is that physicians that are treated that way begin to behave like factory workers, and professionalism dies. And when professionalism dies, patients lose a lot. We ask a lot of physicians, a lot more than we ask of factory workers. I've been in a position where in the middle of the night I'm trying to find a plumber while I'm standing in 2 feet of water in my basement, and calling all the places that advertise 24/7, and I found out what that means. That means you call 24, we answer 7. Well, the physician 24/7 is not you call 24, we answer 7. You call, and 30 years of doing this, I can tell you that I drop whatever it is I'm doing. I sacrifice my time with my family, and I put the needs of my patients ahead of any personal consideration. So that's professionalism.
Okay.
And when you begin to treat patients, physicians as factory workers, you will lose that professionalism.
Okay, Saeed, we get your point. You've left us a lot to chew on there. Dean Baker, would you please respond?
Yeah, a number of good points there. First off, I guess I should say I've had better luck with my plumbers than the caller did. But that apart, I agree with a lot of what he said. Our healthcare system is a mess. And just to be clear, I'm not saying by any means that the pay of doctors is the whole story. So, you know, if you do the arithmetic, what we pay doctors, somewhere around 6.5% of our total healthcare bill. The point is, you know, I would say is, well, we could get that down. We have to get the total health care bill down, and we can get what we pay our doctors down. That's part of the story. So I don't mean to say it's the whole story. And he's exactly right. It's the way we do care. We have incredible waste. A big part of the story, and I said in the piece, I should have said this earlier, a big part of the story isn't just that if we match up, you know, if we match up family practitioners with family practitioners in Germany and France, the difference might be 40 or 50%. It's not that each category it's doubled. The issue here is that we have basically twice as many specialists. In the U.S., roughly two-thirds of our doctors are specialists. If you look at other countries, it's generally one-third or so. So what that means is that a lot of other countries, they have family practitioners doing what specialists are doing here. And what you could say is, okay, it's good to have a specialist, except that, again, they have comparable outcomes. So we're paying someone who presumably is more skilled in everything, but we're not seeing anything from that in terms of better outcomes. So that's a big part of the story. So I think you go back, we have an enormous amount of waste in our healthcare. A lot of it is we pay a lot for equipment that might not be very good. We pay more for our medical equipment. So even if we're using the same equipment, we pay more for it than people do in other countries. Drugs, our prices on patented drugs are about twice the average for other wealthy countries. So you can go to a long, long list of things where our healthcare system is really inefficient, really broken. And, you know, the caller's absolutely right. Those are big problems. But I think doctors' pay is part of it. And just to get to the last point about professionalism, I respect that. But doctors in France, doctors in Germany, they're professionals too. They're committed to their patients. So I don't think our doctors' pay has to be what it is in order to get people who take their patients seriously. And let me just carry that over a second. A lot of nurses are very committed to their patients. I've had tremendous respect for nurses I've had occasion to deal with myself or my wife. And those people are paid a lot less than doctors. So I just don't see that they have to get what they get in order to be committed to their work.
So isn't part of this problem the way we structure how doctors are paid? For example, the most prevalent setup is what's called fee for service, and there are some health systems that don't use that. The Mayo Clinic, for example, their doctors are all on salary, so they don't make any more money if they schedule extra procedures or extra tests. They get paid the same either way, and they have the research shows they have a pretty, compared to other systems, they have a pretty low cost per patient. Would that be a way to bring this under control, do you think?
That's both. I mean, we both have to look towards reducing the pay, but also structure of incentives, exactly. So the caller made the point talking about accountable care organizations where essentially you're being paid for a patient. So patient comes in, they're 55 years old, they have this or that condition, and you're paid for caring for that patient. And you have a real incentive to make sure that the patient gets good care. But if you just start prescribing tests and treatments that aren't necessary, that in effect comes out of your pocket. So that's, I think, the direction we have to look to go, because fee-for-service gives enormously perverse incentives. And I remember years ago, I just went in for a normal checkup. Always dangerous to argue by anecdote, but I'm sure I'm not the only one in the situation. It was 20 years ago, perfect health, no issues. And my doctor just started recommending all these tests. And I eventually was asking, like, do you suspect something? And I have no idea if, you know, she was getting paid per test or anything, but this is just incredibly perverse. I mean, eventually I was negotiating with her, I'll do this, I'll do that. But there was literally no reason for me as a healthy person, I was probably 40, give or take a year, to be taking all these tests that there was nothing that she suspected at all. So we have really perverse incentives within our system, and that's certainly a big part of the problem.
Well, and the same procedure in an outpatient clinic costs a lot less than it would if it was administered in a hospital. And so perhaps we might, as a policy, we might have some policies that would encourage more outpatient care rather than performing tests and procedures in hospital settings, which cost a lot more money, in some cases double.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We have, you know, again, the system is just shot through with perverse incentives. Medicaid, for example, pays for people, generally older people that nursing home care. It doesn't pay, there's some exceptions to this, and it varies by state, but they often don't pay for home health care. So you could have a person, if they had someone come in 2, 3, 4 hours a day, they could have their needs met. On the other hand, if that's out of pocket and they don't have the money for it, Medicaid instead pays for them to be in a nursing facility where the costs are many, many times more.
Mm-hmm. Let's take some more calls. Mike is in Rusk County this morning. Mike, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Hi. I work in a global organization which happens to be an affiliated industry to healthcare as well, so there's some angle there. But I work every day, and I'm communicating every day, and I do occasional global travel with people that are on other healthcare systems in other countries, and most of them in Western Europe, some in Japan, and some of the other higher-tier Asian countries. And I'll tell you, I have never, and I've been in the industry for 30 years, I have never heard anybody complain or wax nostalgic about the U.S.'s healthcare quality and service compared to their own home countries. All of them are extremely happy with the kind of healthcare that they get. And so, I'm in agreement. I've had occasion on travel to sit down and really have, you know, over dinner or whatever, conversations about this very topic. And when you hear some of the comparisons, you never get to the point where I'm getting lower quality service or I'm getting a lower quality professional coming out of the people that I, when I'm talking to them about what kind of service do they get, even on major surgeries. But there is some things that they don't have that after I've gone through major surgeries and major health incidents that I don't see. They don't have the Byzantine process of trying to pay for health care. They don't have endless bills coming week after week after week. I had one major hospitalization for myself where I was still receiving bills from physicians, limited partnerships, and all that kind of stuff for 6 months after the incident, for 6 months after my initial bills went in to the insurance company, and we had to wrestle with co-payments and all that kind of stuff. You know, how can we not look at that and say, you know, there's got to be a better way to employ doctors in the U.S. such that we are not taking these extra costs and we're not getting better performance? There's got to be a way to do that.
Well, in those other countries, they don't have insurance companies because it's basically single-payer health care. The government provides it, and that's how they do it. And yet, if you propose that in this country, you would think that you shot somebody's dog.
Yeah, well, I think we have to look to the models in other countries. Just to be clear, many of them don't. I mean, I'm a fan of single payer. I think, you know, you could point to countries like Denmark and Sweden, UK, Canada, of course, on a single payer model. But some, in the case of, say, France and Germany, they actually do have private insurers, but they're carefully regulated. They're nonprofit. So they're very, very different animals than our insurance industry. But that really is a very big part of the problem because you have, obviously, if their insurance industry, they operate for profit. They make money by not paying bills. I don't mean to say that they're cruel people or anything, but that's just kind of straightforward. And I think any of us who've ever had to deal with insurance, it's addition to just the money involved, the paperwork, which, again, it's basically proportional to how sick you are. So you get the most paperwork when you're not in good health. And if you have someone else who's in your family who is in good health, fine, someone else could deal with it. But many people aren't so fortunate. So it really creates a horrible situation. Again, just I know dangerous to argue by anecdote, but in the case of my own family, my guess is probably a third or 40% of the bills that we've gotten have been mistaken, in the sense that my definition of mistake is the insurance company said they were wrong. So you get a bill, you have dealt with it, or you say we shouldn't have gotten it, or you've paid it, and then you get billed again. And that's the sort of hassle that someone facing a health issue shouldn't have to deal with.
So who decides how much doctors get paid? I mean, is this something there that when you use the term policymakers, I guess I'm reading that as government. Is the government going to step in and say, well, doctors can only make this much money and that's that? We have price fixing by the government, picking winners and losers? That doesn't sound like an idea that would be very popular with the current governing class in Washington.
Well, you could do that, and Medicare, of course, sets rates, you know, and that's obviously a big payer, and they could do different proposals. I can't remember the person's name. He actually is a doctor, but he had proposed a system where Medicare would have sort of an auction, so it's kind of a free market system where they would push down rates, and they would then raise them until they got enough doctors saying they're willing to take the rate. That's still a market system. Still very much a market system. It would be a different system and likely lead to a lower rate. But what I'm actually proposing is, first and foremost, increase the supply of doctors, so that let's make it so that we could have foreign doctors who meet standards. Again, we should be able to say that, okay, if you're practicing as a doctor in Germany, here's the criteria, you can come and practice in the U.S. If you've been practicing as a doctor in France, here's the criteria, you can come and practice in the U.S. So I'm thinking mostly increasing the supply of doctors. Also, another aspect of this, I mentioned this in the piece, there's been some good research on this by Professor Morris Kleiner at the University of Minnesota, looking at a lot of areas, particularly nurse practitioners who could do a lot of the tasks that doctors do and get paid, of course, considerably less. The thing he's focused on is prescribing medicine, so there's a lot of evidence that nurse practitioners are every bit as good in prescribing medicines as doctors. And in, I think it's 14 states, I won't swear by the exact number, but a number of states, they're now authorized to prescribe medicines to patients without the oversight of a doctor, and there's no evidence whatsoever that that's led to improper prescriptions, abuse of medications, whatever it might be.
Well, again, it's not a good idea to make an argument by anecdote, but that hasn't been my experience. Let's go back. We're just about at a break. We've got about 2 minutes until we have to break for a newscast. The mechanism by which we would regulate the fees of doctors, what you're saying is, if we just increase the number of doctors that we have, that wages will go down. I know. The other thing is, you use the term average salary, but wouldn't median salary be a better way to look at this? I mean, if you take the average salary, then you're throwing in all the orthopedists with all the general practitioners, and we know that there's a pretty big disparity between the two.
Yeah, so in this case, the average, if you look at the overall average, it's a bit over 250 now, $250,000 a year, and that's net of expenses. The average for family practitioners is a bit over 200. Now, if you took the median for family practitioners, my guess, and I don't have good data on the distribution, my guess is it's not going to be too far from the average, for the simple reason that I doubt you have many that are, say, earning under 100. I also doubt you have many family practitioners that are, say, earning 400 or 500. I'm sure there's a few, but I doubt very much. Mm-hmm. So this is a case where, if you look at the group as a group, family practitioners or general practitioners, the average probably would not be very far from the median. Just as I say, I don't think you have many people at the real high end. When you include the specialists, sure, you have cardiologists, anesthesiologists. These are people that often earn over 400, even over 500,000 a year. So that is a case where it's skewed. In general, of course, specialists do earn a lot more than
okay.
family.
Okay, I want to pick up that thought when we come back from the break. We have to go away for news for a couple minutes. Dean Baker will come back. I want to pick that point up. We've got callers who also want to join us. We're talking about healthcare this hour on The Morning Show. John Munson in for Kate Archer Kent on the Ideas Network of WPR. The news is next. Do you think doctors' salaries impact medical costs? Do you think doctors are overpaid? My guest this hour thinks doctors make too much money and wants to do something about it. Dean Baker is co-director of the Center for Economic and Policy Research, and he is joining me by phone. You can, too, at 800-642-1234. Dean Baker, I had to cut you off before when you were making your you were answering my question, and we had to go to the news. So if you want to finish up with that, then I'd like to take a few phone calls.
Yeah, so you'd asked about the dispersion because I was giving averages for pay, and you're pointing out that many doctors are paid considerably less than the average. So I was making the point that if we looked at family practitioners as a group, the average for them is a little over $200,000. Again, there's some dispersion around that, but I don't think you'll find many doctors getting paid too much less than that, nor too much more. When you look at specialists, again, there's a much wider dispersion. Some specialties, cardiologists, neurology, you find average pay over $400,000, others considerably lower. So there, I think the average is perhaps a less meaningful number. But for family practitioners, around $200,000 probably isn't too far from the median, give or take some.
Okay. 800-642-1234, the number to call to join the program. Jim in Oconomowoc has done just that. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning. And thank you, Mr. Baker, for this the topic of your article, because, you know, those of us on the not receiving end of the medical pay are, you know, it hurts. I'm in the process of going through an operation, and I've had to go through three different doctors just to get the original doctor who did the MRI and read the MRI telling me that I needed the operation to turn before I can go back to him to have it done. Okay, so, I mean, the amount of excess spending that's involved that you have to go through to get any kind of procedures, any kind of real, you know, beyond a checkup done is ridiculous. I would like to know, is there, have you looked into and do you see any, say, spending towards groups that would do special interests, so stuff like lobbying government for you know, the extra money we're paying into these doctors' fees?
Yeah, I mean, the lobbying is a huge, huge issue. I mean, it's, you know, you find that for doctors, basically the whole healthcare industry, whole healthcare sector, they employ massive numbers of lobbyists, the pharmaceutical industry, the insurance industry. And we saw this back in, I'm sure we're seeing it again today with the efforts to repeal Obamacare, but we saw that back in 2010 when that was on the table. They were all running around all over Washington pushing their particular interests and trying to make sure that they came out well in the health reform bill. I mean, the most extreme case, or just brazen case, was back in, I guess it's 2003 when President Bush got the Medicare drug bill through. Billy Townsend, who had headed up the committee that had passed through in the House, literally the day after it passed, after it passed in Congress and was signed by President Bush, he resigned his position in Congress and became head of pharma, the industry trade group. I'm sure he got paid several million dollars a year for that. So the lobbying is a huge, huge problem here. Again, doctors are part of the story. One of the things I refer to here is doctors back in the 90s made an effort to limit the number of residencies in the U.S., because that's really the sort of choke point. You can't practice medicine as a doctor in the U.S. unless you've completed a U.S. residency program. So back in the 1990s, they lobbied Congress to limit the number of residencies, and so they put in place a limited number in 97, which is still in place today, and even the doctors' organizations agree it's too low. But that was their lobbying effort, and they were concerned back then in the 90s that we had too many doctors, and they were actually arguing that.
And Jim, thanks for the call. Let's go to Lorraine in Milwaukee next. Lorraine, good morning.
Good morning. I work for a doctor, and I imagine he makes quite a bit of money. And yes, I think they're overpaid, and I think nurse practitioners are underpaid. Myself, my family, my children, we use a nurse practitioner nearly every time for all of our problems, and we've saved so much money with that, using the nurse practitioner. And people don't know that these type of providers are available. The nurse practitioners, it's not well advertised. It's buried within the system. They don't advertise it, and people defer to their doctor, and they don't even know these nurse practitioners are available with their care, and it's been fine. We've had no problems, no issues by using the nurse practitioner, and I think it's they are underutilized and underpaid. Thank you.
Lorraine, thanks thanks for the call. Dean Baker?
Yeah, I think the point's very well taken. There's an awful lot of things most people, most conditions that most people have day-to-day, probably nurse practitioners can deal with very, very well. Now, obviously, if someone's got cancer and they need treatment for that, you're going to need to see a doctor who's familiar with cancer and knows how to treat cancer. But fortunately, most of us most of the time don't have cancer. So for a very large number of conditions that trouble people, a nurse practitioner will be fully competent, fully capable, and maybe even better in some cases. Because, I mean, just to take, I mean, it's a little bit absurd, but, you know, you wouldn't want to go to a oncologist that if you have the flu, the oncologist probably won't be all that helpful to you. So in that case, sure, the oncologist has much more training, but it's not going to be helpful in terms of someone's coming to them with the flu. Okay, what can you do?
800-642-1234. Of course, yeah, I mean, you know, as you point out, I mean, we're probably not going to have the nurse practitioner crack our chest open and fix a heart valve for us. One of the things that has changed about the way medical care is delivered is you've got your family practitioners. Internal medicine is the specialty. It's hard to get people to stay in it because the money isn't as good as it would be in a specialty, and you have to see literally in some cases thousands of patients a year, and you get 15 minutes with each of them, and that's it. It isn't part of the problem the way the system itself has decreed that patients will be cared for.
That's right. I mean, there's the pay in the specialties is much, much higher. Well, obviously it's a specialty, but, you know, the other areas of specialization, it tends to be much higher, so people tend to want to go there. Also, the residencies are disproportionately in the higher paying specialty because the hospitals that provide the residencies tend to make more money. It's more profitable for them to have residents in the higher paying specialties because they're charging more for that. So we really have to look.
Well, they're charging more for that, but the residents aren't getting that, are they?
No, the residents aren't getting it. No, the residents. I don't mean to say residents are well paid. I'm saying the hospitals, when they decide where to offer their residencies, they tend to put them in higher paying specialties because they're charging the people who come in for that or their insurers for that. So we really do have a messed up system. Now, you know, getting back to, okay, I go to the doctor, they have 15 minutes, that's a problem. But part of that story is that in many cases, you know, as Lorraine, your previous caller, just said, in many cases, probably nurse practitioners could deal with a lot of the issues that, you know, I go in for and I don't have a serious illness, the nurse practitioner could deal with me. Or if I do have a serious illness, the nurse practitioner can go, oh, you got to see this person, you have to see that person. They could do that. We don't need a primary care physician for that.
Mm-hmm. Let's take another call quickly from Karen in Greenfield. Karen, thank you.
Good morning. Thanks for the important topic. Can you comment on the fact that orthopedic breast surgeons fresh out of residency, completing their medical training, are making $500,000 in major metro areas? Is it worth that?
You know, I don't know that to be the case, but if it is the case, it certainly sounds like a lot to me. I mean, it doesn't shock me. I'm just saying I don't know that to be the case, but that certainly sounds like a lot to me. And again, I'm sure they come out with these very high debts from being in med school and everything, but if you're actually getting $500,000 a year, you're going to pay those off pretty quickly. So that's the sort of thing. Again, I don't know that to be the case, but if it is the case, that is exactly the sort of thing I think is a very big
problem.
What's
it cost to go all the way through to med school to get your MD to actually be able to be licensed to practice medicine in a particular state? What's the total bill for that, do you think, from start to finish?
It could easily be $250,000, which, again, is a big problem. So, again, if you say, okay, how should we reform the system? We shouldn't be having doctors, young doctors, come out with those sorts of bills. Other countries, most, if not all, the expense of being in med school is picked up by the government. I think we should look to go that way. So that's not a good way to do it. So I understand someone comes out with $250,000 bills. That's a big problem. Now, on the other hand, if you're making $500,000, and I think that's probably the exception, if you're making $500,000 the day after you're done, you're going to pay off $250,000 in bills in loans pretty quickly. But in any case, you know, I think the point is we don't want people coming out with these massive bills, so they have to look to higher paying specialties. But then on top of that, yeah, they shouldn't be getting $500,000 when they first start, and probably at no point in their career.
Well, again, the problem becomes then if the doctors aren't paying that money, who is paying it?
We come out way ahead in that story. There's no doubt we come out. You could do the arithmetic on it. If we pick up the tab, there's no doubt that the taxpayers come out way ahead. Again, assuming it's coupled with reductions in pay.
We've got about a minute and a half or so left here. How optimistic are you that we could see a reduction in the salary that doctors make in America, that there could be a policy shift that would create a world where that was possible?
I think I put myself as pretty optimistic, in part just because I guess I'm a believer in the market, in the sense that when you have such enormous disparities between what doctors are paid in the U.S. and what they're paid in other countries, I think those would be hard to maintain. And I have to imagine somewhere along the way, if we don't ease up the requirements here, you're going to have people going to France, to Germany, other countries. We already have that to some extent, but you'll see a lot more of that to take advantage of much lower cost health care. It's hard to believe that they won't do that. And also, I should point out, there's some states, one of the things that I think I mentioned this in the piece, one of the things that some states are doing, although you can't practice medicine on your own without having completed a residency program in the United States, you can do it under the supervision of another doctor. And three states have now allowed for that. So they have doctors that haven't completed residency programs in the U.S., but they could practice under the supervision of a doctor who has. So that's a way of bringing more doctors into the system, which should put downward pressure on their wages.
Thank you, Dean Baker, for an interesting hour. It's a pleasure to talk to you this morning.
Thanks a lot for having me on.
Dean Baker is co-director of the Center for Economic and Policy Research. He recently wrote a piece for Politico titled "The Problem of Doctors' Salaries." You can listen to that program later if you missed part of it by going to WPR.org and clicking on the Ideas Network Program Notes tab. The Morning Show is produced by Niaja Ellison and Keely Boltina. Michelle Johnson is the executive producer, and Dean Knetter handled technical production work for us this hour. More to come on The Morning Show. We'll talk about Lincoln Hills next hour, and later in the hour, we'll hear from Sean Johnson during our state capitol report. John Munson in for Kate Archer Kent on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.